This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Ladies Who London podcast. I'm Emily Dell.
And I'm Alex Lacey, and we are qualified London Blue Badge tourist guides.
Each week we bring to you some of the best bits of London.
We talk about our favourite people, places and events with a bit of information, a lot of laughs and a whole lot of fun.
Do you know what? We can be found on Instagram at Ladies Who London podcast and on our websites. That's guideemily.com
and alexlacey.com, as well as the dedicated podcast website ladieswholondon.com to find out information about us, our virtual and in-person walking tours, and what the Blue Badge Guiding qualification is all about. I'm so confident. I'm ad-libbing.
Oh my gosh. What happened there? We added words.
I know.
Wow. We must be in a pretty good mood, Alex.
Clearly. How are you?
I'm good, darling. How are you?
I'm very well.
You look well.
I feel better than I have in about a month. So
you sound better as well.
I still sound a bit like a gremlin, but we're getting there.
We're getting there. And you're also looking like a beautiful emerald this evening. Cool. Yes. Alex is wearing this delightful...
I told you about public flirting.
Plunge drop dress.
Okay, yeah. Basically, she's been laughing at me because my dress keeps gaping and showing.
Not laughing, winking.
Because we're in the same room again this week.
Yay! We are
back up at the fabulous boat pod in Little Venice.
We've got water underneath our feet again.
And ducks outside.
Beautiful around here as well. We've just seen the sunset.
Yeah. Honestly, the light right now is just gorgeous. And it's funny because I had one of our listeners get in touch with me a few weeks ago, just after the boat pod episode came out, and said, "Oh, I was on a boat in Little Venice and I went past." I was like, "That's the boat pod." So people have noticed it as they've been going past.
It is an absolute treat to be back. So thank you very much, Sophie, from the boat pod.
Yay!
And you can rent out this space, guys, and use it for DJing, radio production. Sorry. if you might get edited out. Boots and cats, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's posh white women again.
Yeah. Oh, funny.
But yes, it's a fabulous space.
Yeah, loving it. Loving it. So how are you? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? This week has been good. What have I been up to?
Oh, I don't know.
I went to Hampton Court Palace for a food festival.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Lots of people, lots of food, bit of music.
It's one of my favourite places, Hampton Court Palace.
Oh, it was so nice. It was a glorious day as well.
And was that for work or for play?
For play.
Hooray!
Yes, lots of play. Had little cocktails that kind of like served in beautiful little Victorian bottles.
Ooh, hello.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Fancy.
Yeah. So I was greeted by someone in a pair of red tights, which is always fun.
I mean, that makes for a good day out, doesn't it?
It does. But how about you? What the devil have you been doing?
Well, I've been mostly trying to get over this chest infection.
Oh, that's true.
Slash a bit of touch of pneumonia that I've had. But I've done a couple of jobs, which is lovely.
Well, hey.
And I have to say hi to Kate Neville, who's a listener who booked me for a couple of hours a couple of days ago now. And we went round, Kate and her dad, all around Westminster and looked at all the secret stuff. And it was a lovely day. Perfect weather. And yeah, it was lovely. What else have I been doing? Not much, I don't think.
You went on a little bus tour yesterday.
Oh, I did. Yeah, absolutely. I was doing a live virtual bus tour with one of our colleagues, a lady called Charlie, and she does them every Sunday, and they're free, and she just takes a different bus route each week and sort of broadcasts live from it. So I was her Sort of guest guide.
Oh,
this week.
Fantastic. I tuned in and I was like, oh, God, there she is.
Emily's like my groupie.
I know. I don't know if you saw my message being like, oi, oi. Didn't get a message back, but it was fine.
Didn't see that at all.
No.
But we've got a bit of news this week, haven't we?
We do have a bit of news.
Last Friday, we were on, and we mentioned it on last week's podcast because we thought it was going to be out this week. Turns out it was last week. Completely scuppered our plans.
Completely.
What were we on, Em?
We were on the BBC.
Yes.
We were on the radio, the everybody. The BBC, yes. Alex and I, our little voices. and we were talking about the podcast,
We were lucky enough to be on BBC Radio 4 Extra's podcast hour.
Mm-hmm.
And each week they pick their kind of favourite podcast and they have an interview with the one that they think is the most interesting. And that was us.
That was us.
So we had a good kind of 15, 20 minutes chat with them. And you can hear that. We've put it on our website. We've embedded it there. So if you want to go and have a listen, then pop to ladieswholondon.com and just scroll down and you'll find the link on there. But it was so lovely. We got to chat about... Well, Emily wasn't very happy with the clip that they put.
Well, because I don't know if you've listened to it out there, everybody, but it started with a clip where I basically said to Alex, oh, honestly, I don't know what I'm saying here, Alex. Don't put this in.
but then she comedy dropped it. It was the start of the Postal Museum one.
Mm.
But both of us, when we listened to that, we thought, why have they picked this clip? But it was, in the end, it was a good comedy intro from them.
Yeah,
so.
You have to have a listen, guys.
Yeah.
But yes, my heart did sink initially.
But it was lovely. And we're so thrilled that the BBC got in touch with us and asked us to come on a chat.
I mean, BBC, mate.
I know, right? Where do we go from here? World domination is where. World domination. And... next week, very excitingly,
we're going to Dorset.
No,
because that is pretty exciting.
We have figured out we're going to the same place on holiday next week by accident.
Yes, it's our anniversary.
Yeah, it's our 1 week.
One year, baby. 51 episodes in.
Yeah. And, next week will be 52.
52.
So we've been doing this for a whole year.
A whole year. Every single week.
And we're so delighted that you're all along with us
for
the ride. Because we have absolutely loved it.
Oh, honestly. It's so lovely knowing that there's a couple of people listening out there, isn't it?
Yeah. A few
more than a couple now. So thank you so much, guys.
So next week is going to be something slightly different. We are still formulating plans at the moment, but it's going to be great fun, and we are probably going to have a guest.
Yes, bring your party poppers.
Yeah, party pants.
Party pants.
New pants,
because
please.
It's going to get loose. New pants, please, all round.
We're just going to be completely drunk the whole time.
We are.
Yeah.
Sloshing around.
Yeah, so there's going to be something fun next week. So for our 1 year anniversary, and then normal service will resume.
Will resume.
After that.
Yes.
So there we go. But what about this week?
This week? Well, what about last week?
Well, what about last week?
What about last week, mate? So last week, it was your turn to talk about something or other.
It was Elizabethan sumptuary laws, which was a left-field choice, I'm not going to lie. And I think some people were a bit confused by it, didn't quite know what to do with that.
No, I thought it was a great choice. Left field, it was a field I wanted to be in. And that field was a field made of cloth.
It really was. All of the different rules about what you could and couldn't wear in the Elizabethan era, which I find fascinating.
Mm.
And just that thing of having, you know, basically having fashion police. What you can and can't wear being literally laid down in law.
Literally.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of choices at the end, didn't we, for our podcast pedestal.
What was on the pedestal then?
So I went for the padded calf, because you were saying that, you know, during this particular Elizabethan time, men would be wearing tights, and, you know, you look at paintings and you think, God, they're calves, I just want to chew on them.
Sounds intriguing.
But Alex told me that actually men padded their calves to make them protrude more than they actually were, and this has just ruined everything for me, but at the same time just ignited some form of fire.
And to the point where you actually got your partner Nick to pad his calves for you, didn't you?
Yes. So if you go onto our Instagram page, I put a reel up there, and I came home and I said to my partner Nick, don't question me, just put these blue tights on and get the cotton wool down at the back.
I don't find you sexy enough. Up the ante, come on.
Although he has, and if you're listening to this, darling, you've got fantastic calves.
Good. Okay. And I went, just moving on swiftly, I went for the woolen cap because there was a law that came out that required all men over a certain age to wear a wool cap on Sunday, which is partly to kind of show their status, but also to essentially just invigorate the wool industry in England.
Keep it going.
Yeah. And it was, I think, a very interesting choice. Nobody else thought so, because I got 30% and you got 70.
Was it 70? To be honest, I did have a little cheeky look
you
at our one.
Smashed
and,
it,
I did think, gosh, you know, people are not enjoying the woolly hat.
Absolutely smashed
well,
through
30%
that one.
30%
were. 30%. 30% loved it. Thank you.
Padded calves, you know.
Padded calves.
Padded calves.
To be fair, I would have voted for padded calves.
Yeah.
Like
it was a
shite blue
line. It was a good one.
It was a very good one.
So
well
now
done.
I think we're even Stevens again. I think it's now 24-24.
Oh, you're on a roll.
On a roll.
Hello.
On a little cheese
just up the ante this week.
Roll.
So yeah, this week.
This week.
Where are we? What are we doing?
Well, the wheel landed in Bloomsbury. Did it land in Bloomsbury?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so, did
Let's
it?
Let's just say yes.
Let's go for yes.
I'm pretty sure it landed
yes,
in
it was Bloomsbury, yes.
It was Bloomsbury because somebody requested, and you can put requests in now of, you know, what you want us to talk about.
We've had a few now.
And somebody requested the Hotel Russell in Bloomsbury.
Absolutely.
So I've gone for that. And I've also gone for just a little bit about Russell Square in general.
Cool. Bring it on.
Is this an area that you know about, Alex?
I know it very vaguely. It's not somewhere that I've ever... I have guided Bloomsbury, but not much. So it's an area that's a little bit unknown to me. I know a little bit about the Russell Hotel because there is kind of cool stuff in there.
There's a couple of cool little bits.
But I'm excited to learn more.
Nice.
So hit me with your facts.
Well, of course, it's called Russell Square. So you think, okay, square, because there's quite a few squares in the area. You've got Bloomsbury Square, you've got Tavistock Square, you've got Russell Square. And the name Russell comes from a very affluent family.
Typical.
Typical, I know. So
they all like having stuff named after them, don't they? The rich ones.
Absolutely. So it all started with Lord Russell, obviously, who was called William Russell. And he was the third son of the first Duke of Bedford. And you've also got Bedford Square, you've got Bedford Street, you did have Bedford Place before it came down. And Lord Russell married the heiress of Bloomsbury.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
The whole area?
Yeah, basically, yeah, the heiress of Bloomsbury. So could put his mark upon the area. And it was at this point when it was mostly fields. There wasn't too much around the area of Bloomsbury in the 1700s. But as we reach the 1800s, suddenly you get these beautiful houses, you know, these kind of 4 or 5 storey houses, stairs leading up to the entrance with these fan windows over the top and you
beautiful.
Know, yeah, really beautiful. Some of which
kind
still
of classic
exist.
Around those squares, aren't they? They have a certain look.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was about this period where they started to create squares for the people that lived in that vicinity. And these were known as key gardens.
Mm.
So you could only get a key if you lived in the vicinity.
Yeah.
And then over time, these gardens were allowed, they allowed the general public, mainly because pollution was so bad and people didn't really have a garden and they didn't have anywhere to go to kind of breathe in good air. So essentially, a lot of the key gardens, a lot of the parks suddenly opened their gates to the general public. And this is what happened for Russell Square.
And before you had them open to the public... So you said you have to live on the square to get the key. Is it just as simple as that? You live there, they give you a key, or do you have to pay extra for it, or...?
You might have had to pay a fee for the key.
fee, if you like.
A fee key. And I guess there would have been some form of payment because of the upkeep and the maintenance. Yeah. Some of them, and you've actually still got a key garden near Oxford Street, near Portland Square.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's actually Portland Square, isn't it?
Okay.
Where it is a key garden. You can't get in there unless you live in the area. And there are tennis courts there. There are... you know, beautiful areas where you can have a picnic. They've got all their flower beds. So, yeah, I guess they would have had to pay a fee for the key. It would have been a way to look after the park itself.
And there's still Eaton Square have got them as well, haven't they?
Oh, yeah,
key
that's
gardens
true.
And,
quite close to Victoria.
Yeah, the posh areas.
If you live
in the posh areas, you don't want scum hanging out with you, do
you? Don't. And that was where Maggie Thatcher, I think she lived around there,
didn't
she? Yeah, I think she did. I don't know if she was ever, you know, in the square itself, but... Oh, it's actually also the one that features in Notting Hill in Eaton Square.
Oh, is that Eaton Square?
Yeah, where Hugh Grant, he goes over the fence and he says, oh, whoopsie daisy. Oh,
I didn't realise that was Eaton Square. I thought that was actually up in...
No, that's Eaton Square where they film that little bit. Now...
Huge grunt.
Yes, huge grunt. What a huge grunt he did have. and around the square, as I say, you've still got some of these beautiful townhouses, if you like. You've got the British Museum. You've got university buildings. There is a blue plaque to T.S. Eliot, the writer. You've also got one of those fantastic green cab shelters.
Yes, and we have to do a podcast on them at some point because they're super cool.
They are. So there's a couple of them still around. There's actually one very close to where we are in Warwick Avenue.
Mm.
And yeah, they were basically for cab drivers to make sure that they didn't go to the pub on their break, get absolutely hammered, and then get back into the carriage to take people around.
Yeah.
They said, look, you've got a green shed over there. Whenever you have a break, I want you to go in there, have a ham sandwich, cup of tea, and then get back on the road.
Stay sober, lads.
Stay sober.
There's one near the Natural History Museum, or sort of as you're coming up between that and Harrods. And I went past it the other day, and I think that it had an argument with a vehicle because it seemed to be teetering on sort of over to one side.
Oh, bloody hell.
And then I went back a few days later and it was sort of cordoned off. So I think it's maybe... Yeah, that might have had a little bit of a mishap.
Oh, dear. That was probably listed as well, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah. Anyway, we'll come back to them on another occasion.
Now, Russell Square has always been a desirable area for people staying. So if tourists are in the area and they're wanting to come to London, Russell Square's great because you're close to Trafalgar Square, you're close to Covent Garden. Also, if you're coming from Heathrow, it's brilliant because you can jump on the Piccadilly line, it takes you straight to Russell Square. So for this reason, there's been so many hotels.
Yeah.
And this leads us to...
As if by magic.
Very nice. Hotel Russell, which still exists today.
Mm-hmm.
It has changed name not once, not twice, but three times.
Thrice.
And although the interior of the Hotel Russell, which today is called the Kipton Fitzroy London, the interior has changed a lot. The exterior hasn't.
Mm.
So
it's beautiful as well, isn't it? Kind of terracotta... Just really gorgeous, quite eye-catching.
Yeah, it's very imposing. And it takes up, I'm trying to think in terms of direction, what must it be? The east
yeah.
side of Russell Square. So it was built in 1898 by a fabulous man called Charles Fitzroy Dole.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
No relation to Tiddy Dole.
Tiddy Dole. Oh, the gingerbread man. From the Mayfair episode.
From the Mayfair episode.
Can you imagine if he's actually related to the man that gave gingerbread as the puppet heads were being executed? Wow. I haven't thought about Tiddy for such a long time.
I thought about him recently because I realised there's actually, a pub or a restaurant named after him, which I saw recently.
Oh,
anyway.
Really? Oh. Well, there we go. Now, have you heard of the expression all dolled up?
Yes.
Yes, so this comes from Charles Fitzroy Dole.
Oh.
Yes, because when it came to his work and he laid his hand to quite a few hotels, I should say as well, he was born here in Britain, but he was educated mostly in Germany and got a lot of European influences in his hotels. And yeah, that's where we get the expression all dolled up, because if you ever saw his work, the intricacy and the detail upon it, you know, and you'd say it these days, you know, oh, I got all dolled up, I washed my hair.
Went down the spoons.
Went down the spoons. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So as I say, he worked on a couple of hotels and he actually created or designed two on the same road there. So you had the Hotel Russell and then you also had the Imperial. And I'll talk about the Imperial in a moment, but no, they both look incredibly similar. So as you say, terracotta, which is known as this tea au lait terracotta, which is tea and milk.
Yeah.
And that's because of the colour. You've got this kind of builder's tea
kind of rusty
colour.
Rusty.
Yeah, builder's tea, 10 sugars.
Woof.
Yeah, woof.
Breakfast of Champions.
And it was actually based on a hotel that used to exist. It doesn't anymore. It was demolished in the 1790s. It used to exist in Paris, and it was called the Chateau de Madrid.
in Paris, naturally. The Madrid Chateau. Like, what?
Which was named after a castle in Madrid.
No kidding. Which was named after a castle somewhere else, was
yeah.
it?
Like, but this is what I love. Italy. You know, when you start to go back in terms of inspiration, you've got all of these designs and beautiful buildings which look the way they do, which have particular names because they've been influenced from different areas of the globe. I love that. Yeah. So, Chateau de Madrid, which comes from a castle that used to be in Madrid. And this this beautiful building, which was in Paris, was, you know, a big Renaissance building, richly decorated. This was his inspiration.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I'm up for it.
Yeah, you up for it?
I'm up for it. Let's go.
I mean,
let's
it's go. Pretty pricey.
Okay, maybe we'll go just look at it.
We'll just go there and have a little look. Maybe enter the lobby, you know,
absolutely.
If we're lucky. Now, at the entrance, or above the entrance, you do have four life-size statues of some queens. Would you like to list the queens?
RuPaul.
Yes.
Alyssa
Edwards.
Four queens. Well, we haven't had that many, so I'm going to assume it's Mary the First, Elizabeth the First, Mary the Second, Queen Anne.
So Elizabeth the First, Mary the Second, Anne and Victoria.
Oh, he dumped Bloody Mary. Mind you, she was Catholic, so I guess.
She was, so she weren't going
cut her out of history.
Cut her out. And these are really beautiful, actually. I'll try and put a picture up on Instagram because it just, you know, when you look at like a figure wearing a dress or something and it's made out of stone, it's kind of thing where you can imagine if the wind is blowing, even though it's made of stone, that you can imagine the fabric moving.
How do they do it?
I don't know.
I'm always amazed. Stone, marble, sometimes even metal, and
bronze,
they make fabric, they make lace, they make sometimes wet fabric, and it just looks so incredible. I think we've talked in the past, or at least put some pictures on Instagram before, about the tomb in Windsor Castle of Princess Charlotte, which is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I just, that level of incredibleness, that's obviously a very technical term.
Incredibleness.
Your incredibility in making stone look like fabric. It's just...
Texture, isn't it?
Yeah.
The detail. So yes, I'll try and put a picture up because it's really nice because you can kind of, you can see the different eras as well, in particular, you know, Queen Elizabeth I with the ruff around her neck and, you know, these huge kind of shoulders compared with Queen Victoria, which everything's kind of a little bit more kind of tucked in with the hair kind of pulled back and yeah, they're beautiful.
Wow.
And they were designed
And they're still there today, are they?
They're still there today, so they're just above the entrance. Designed by a sculptor called Henry Charles Fair.
Not someone I've heard of.
No, so you might well have seen a bit of his work. He was born in London, studied at the Royal Academy, and you know the Methodist Central Hall in Westminster?
I do.
So he created kind of architectural decorations for the dome.
All the stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, on the outside of the dome?
All the stuff on the outside of the dome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because that's quite interesting.
It's quite a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah.
As stuff goes,
quite a lot of stuff. Also, David Garrick.
Yes. Oh, I love David Garrick. He's a legend. He's buried at Westminster.
He is.
And the thing I love about it is that his memorial on the wall is so camp. He's just sort of coming through these amazing theatre curtains and it's almost like he's going, hello, boys. And I don't think he was gay, or if he was, he
But you're so
was
right.
It's so camp.
There's a shoulder that leads, isn't there?
Yes.
And it's like the curtains
hello,
are like,
darling.
Strip bare,
yes,
I'm coming
so
out.
Fantastic.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he designed, not that one, but he designed another memorial to David Garrick, which is in Covent Garden.
Is it as camp?
No.
Oh, shame.
No. Now, you've also got, very close to where the statues of the four queens are, you've got coats of arms of the world's nations, as they were when the hotel was created in the 1890s.
Ooh.
And these are in the spandrels of the first floor.
Love that word.
Spandrel.
What are spandrels, for the benefit of anyone who doesn't know?
So a spandrel
They sound like very specific knickers to me.
Spandrel.
Got my spandrels on.
Don't you throw those dirty spandrels at me.
New pants, please.
New pants, please. New spandrels, please. What's a spandrel, Alex?
Oh, do you want me to do what a spandrel is now?
Because I know. I don't know if you do.
A spandrel is, to the best of my understanding, when you get kind of arches going up in a building on the inside, and then they create a kind of triangular bit between them at the top. That's your spandrel.
Yeah,
very specific architectural term.
Pretty much it, mate. Now, also, a lot of hotels were used for the war effort during the 1940s. They would have been taken over as a war office.
Did you actually say what were in the spandrels?
I did, Coats of Arms.
Oh, you did, yes, sorry.
Yes. Could you keep up and listen, please? God's sake. What are you doing? Playing tiddlywinks over there?
Yep.
But yes, so a lot of the hotels would have been used for the war effort in some way. They would have been turned into hospitals, they would have been turned into offices. But the hotel pretty much stayed as a hotel. People were still staying there. Members of Parliament were staying there. They believed, like quite a few other hotels, that it was quite sturdy. So if a bomb was to land close by, you know, they would be okay. But I think quite a few hotels...
They never stress test that. They just kind of go, yeah, it looks quite good, doesn't it? You're fine, chaps.
And I say close by. Like, if it was a direct hit...
Yeah, big stuff.
Although there was a direct hit, so they did used to have this dome on top of the hotel, but this was damaged when a bomb, and I presume because there was a fire, from what I've read, it was an incendiary bomb, destroyed part of the roof and the dome came down.
See, this is the thing with domes. We're not very good at keeping them not on fire.
I know. What is that with domes?
I don't know.
What is that? Now, also, inside, there is a restaurant, and today it is called the Neptune, but it used to be the Fitzroy Restaurant and named after the architect himself. Ooh. And if you ever wanted to see what it was like on the Titanic, if you wondered what the ballroom was like, then you basically want to go into this hotel, because Charles Fitzroy Dole designed the ballroom on the Titanic, and this is basically a replica of that in the hotel.
And this is where the hotel gets really exciting, because it's the closest we're ever going to get to the Titanic. Mm. Although I did read recently that they are making another Titanic and they're selling tickets for it. I'm like, don't get on that.
2022.
And they're doing it the exact way, which is kind of like, well, maybe to sort out the bulkheads issue, because that's kind of the problem.
But yeah, you can imagine like the amount of like pun drops and you know, everybody just being served icebergs and...
Oh yeah, iceberg lettuce and things like that.
Iceberg for breakfast, amazing. Iceberg for lunch, iceberg for dinner.
So actually the fact that restaurant's called Neptune Neptune now is kind of good, and I wonder if there's an element of punnery there.
Because it's a seafood restaurant.
Yeah, and now that restaurant on the Titanic is very much at the bottom of the sea.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine, like, on that one that's going to sell, like, every man that worked there was called Jack and every woman was called Kate. Oh, no, that was Noah.
That's the actress.
Don't be like, this is terrible. What was her name in it?
Jack. I don't know.
Rose. There we go. Now, also, if you go to the second floor...
Sorry for everybody who was shouting Rose at us
Rose,
at that point.
For God's sake, it's Rose. On the second floor of the hotel on the staircase, you've got Lucky George. Can you guess what Lucky George might be?
I'm going to guess some kind of sculpture, kind of an animal, maybe?
It is an animal, yeah.
Are we going with the Neptune thing? Fish. No, they probably wouldn't have wanted to... I'm going to say a fish.
Good guess, but completely wrong.
Oh, well done.
It's a bronze dragon.
As you do.
And it is one of two, and the second one is very unlucky because it's at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean with the Titanic.
So they're actually a pair.
They are a pair.
Wow.
So, yeah, so one was on the Titanic and one is on the second floor on the stairwell. It's quite chunky. It's quite huge. Again, I'll try and put a picture up on Instagram. And hence
we'll do it on the blog as well. Put some pictures on the blog
perfect,
too.
Perfect, yeah. That's why it's called Lucky George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the other one called? Do you know? Did it have a name?
George.
Unlucky George.
Unlucky George.
Soggy George.
Soggy George, yeah. Wet George. Wet behind the ears, George.
God, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Because having that pair of dragons, one on the ship, one on the kind of replica ship on dry land, there's something, I don't know, weird about that. Just that they are a pair, but they're very much in very, very different locations.
Yeah, definitely. And apparently quite a few people stayed at that hotel before travelling to Southampton to get on the Titanic.
Ooh, blimey.
Yeah.
Are there any other links with the Titanic? Are there any other bits of the hotel that are kind of modelled on or paired
Not that
with?
I've read. But and actually, if you were to go to the ballroom, unfortunately, it has been changed. So right. there are still elements of, you know, what Charles Fitzroy Dole would have designed. But through the years, you know, they've put kind of like velvet chairs, and there are a few modern features.
It's not quite as damp.
It's yeah, exactly. It's not quite as soggy. So anyway, when the hotel was first opened as well, it got rave reviews because inside you had a fitted bathroom, a fitted ensuite bathroom for every single room. Exactly, yeah, which was, you know, a great innovation at the time. It was very palatial. You had members of the royal family that stayed there. You had...
Mark of success, isn't it?
Absolutely. You had a marble staircase. They also had a sunken garden.
Haven't we all?
Haven't we all?
In fairness, so is the Titanic.
Yeah, true, yeah. So, yeah, but flash forward to 2018, there's an £80 million refurbishment that suddenly happens on the hotel, and it gets changed. The name changes in July 2018 to the Principal Hotel. By October that year, it changes again to the Kimpton Fitzroy London.
I was going to say, that was quite quick, because we knew that wasn't the name now. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also mentioned in the musical Cats. Have you seen Cats?
What?
Yeah.
I've never seen Cats, actually. I tried to watch the film that came out recently, and I managed 10 minutes before wanting to harm myself and those around me, so I gave up.
Bloody hell, yeah. Okay. well, there's a song in it that goes, up, up. Up past the Russell Hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is more, but I'll save
spare
it.
Spare me.
I'll save it for another day.
And which song is that from?
So that is a song which is called The Journey to the Heaviside Layer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because you mentioned that there's a blue plaque on Russell Square to T.S. Eliot.
I did.
Who wrote Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, from which Cats is based.
Look at that.
So, obviously, Russell's Hotel, rather, had enough of an impact on him for him to include it in, I assume it's in the text of the book, which is why it's been brought over into the musical.
There we go.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. Like a furball.
Wonderful thought.
Yes. Now... If we were to stay there, Alex, it would cost us anywhere from £225 per night.
Right.
Is that a good price?
I never stay in hotels in London, because I live in London.
Yeah.
So I don't know what an average cost is.
But it's beautiful, apparently. I mean, like the design of the bedrooms and, well, inside the bedroom as well, you get not only luxurious linens, you get luxurious robes.
Oh, hello.
You also have an espresso machine, which I'm living for.
Oh, are you really?
I mean, not for £225, but you also get, I love this, electric hot water kettle. The fact that they've put, it's just a kettle.
It's just a kettle. Oh, it's not a gas-powered one?
No. Mini bar with gourmet local treats, in brackets Pringles. Doesn't say that, but can you imagine? Be like, I just need to get into my room because I want to see what kind of gourmet local treats.
Yeah.
And you've got, I don't know, like mini cheddars or something.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's not, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So now I mentioned that you also had another hotel which was designed by the same man.
Yeah, the Imperial.
Charles Fitzroy.
Which has always been a comfortable name, isn't it, the Imperial?
Is it?
Yeah, because it, well, you know, it smacks of empire and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But anyway... It's gone now, so we don't have to worry about it.
Oh, right, okay. When I think of Imperial, I think of what?
Mints.
Yeah, I do. I think of mints. But, you know, that's my small-town brain.
Yeah. Oh, sweeties.
So the Imperial was designed in 1911, so what, kind of 20 years after the Hotel Russell. And Pevsner, do you know good old Pevsner? Pevsner,
who we... is one of those names that when you do the Blue Badge course... comes up again and again and again.
It does.
And he's basically an architectural sort of critic, isn't he?
Yeah, so he had something to say about absolutely everything.
Didn't
basically.
He just?
Yeah, so Pevsner described the Hotel Imperial as a mixture of Art Nouveau Tudor and Art Nouveau Gothic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knows what he means.
I mean, you know, I'm going with that.
Yeah.
But from the images, both hotels look very similar. They were both, you know, they had the terracotta fronting. You had gargoyle statues, which were modelled with red brick. So you can imagine that, because one of the sides with the hotels, you know, you would have had this terracotta, whereas on the other sides where you would have had the homes, you would have had that beautiful kind of classical white with the pillars.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would have been, I guess, a little bit like Hampton Court Palace, where you do have that kind of red Tudor.
Great contrast
that,
of
yeah,
colour.
That juxtaposition.
Are
you wooing my word? Juxtaposition. You never woo my word.
I know.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Whoa. Okay, I'm blushing. Now, inside the Imperial, you had a winter garden.
Oh, I love a winter garden.
How would you describe a winter garden?
One of those big sort of glass, almost they look like a human aviary. So there's a big kind of glass covered almost like, well, a garden basically, which means that in the winter you can still sort of feel like you're kind of dining outside. They've got one at the, what's the hotel? Not the Landmark. The Landmark Hotel.
Oh.
They've got a winter garden there. That's normally how I would see a winter garden.
Oh, okay. Beautiful. And also Turkish baths.
Ooh.
Yes. So apparently this was the finest Turkish bath in London. And by the 1930s, there were just under 40 Turkish baths in London.
Sounds fabulous. I'm up for the best Turkish bath in London.
It does, isn't it?
And a winter garden.
Apparently this one was so hot. So anywhere from 49 to 110 Celsius, which is 120 to 230 Fahrenheit.
Okay, I don't like it so much anymore.
Well, I was kind of started getting into Turkish baths and reading about the history of Turkish baths and how women would have been treated and how they started opening Turkish baths just for women because they didn't want to be in there with the men. And actually at the Hotel Imperial, they ended up having a separate area for the women and also a separate entrance, which was around the back of the hotel.
What, for the women?
For the women.
So they can't even go through the front door?
See, I saw that as like, yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can't come through the front door. No,
go around the back.
Go around the back. But I was reading about, you know, the fact that your body is okay with these kind of temperatures because it says that you can cope if the air is dry. And I was reading, there was this one guy, and I don't know if it was at the Hotel Imperial, but he certainly went to a Turkish bath in London. And he talks about how a few days ago he spent some time in a Turkish bath and it was heated to 220 degrees, or basically 8 degrees above boiling water.
No, thank you.
Yes, and he says it was not only not inconvenient, but it was the most delightful hour he had ever spent. Had he taken a leg of mutton into the room with him, it would have been cooked, or eggs, they would have been boiled. Yet upon placing the bulb of the thermometer to the root of his tongue, it indicated only 90 degrees of heat, that of a healthy body.
Yeah, because you, like, which doesn't say that if you're hot, your core body temperature goes up, does it? You sweat to be able to maintain your... So he's basically mad. Because as well, who on earth thinks, if I'd have gone into that spa with a leg of mutton, I mean, what an absolute random thing to...
You well, know. There wasn't a response. There was a response because everyone was like, it's not true. And they were like, well, why don't you try it? Well, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to like try it just in case. And somebody said, well, look, you know, I know it's true. I cooked a mutton chop on my knee. And in eating it afterwards, the only inconvenience that I experienced was in the matter of the bread. It became toast before I could get it into my mouth.
Okay. People from times gone by are bonkers.
They really are. I mean, I love a hot bath.
Could you imagine going to someone's for dinner and they go, yeah, new cooking, new form of cooking this. What do you do? Oh, I took it to the sauna, put it on my knee, just, you know, sat there. What? No. Like,
well, you go there and be like, I thought we were having meat for dinner. Why is Why is Ronald in the bath? Oh, he's cooking your beef.
He's trying to steam it, mate.
It'll be about 20 minutes.
Honestly.
So, yeah, it's mad, isn't it? So, but that's the only feature of this original, of the original Imperial, actually. Because today, the Hotel Imperial that still exists is from the 1960s. And I have to say, it's not a building that I personally like to look at.
Oh, okay.
It's it just looks like it needs a little bit of TLC.
Told me earlier, Emily.
We're not collaborating with the Imperial, are we?
Not as far as I'm aware. Tell me what you told me earlier.
What did I say?
You said it's a bit of an eyesore.
God, did I say that?
Yeah.
It is. But the thing that's quite nice is that you can go through and into this open courtyard. And in the open courtyard, you'll find these statues, which they're like 21 statues, these white, beautiful statues, which are from the original Turkish bath.
Oh, wow.
And it just gives you an idea of how beautiful and how much time and effort they spent into the design of the baths, because the statues are glorious, of these women that are holding kind of pots on their heads, and they're kind of like goddesses.
That's like really us, beautiful. Really?
Like, basically like us. There's just a couple of statues in the Imperial of just
me and Emily.
Rubber duck on our heads, and you know.
Wow, I didn't know that was there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that's me today.
There we go.
That's it.
So there we go. Now, to say, this was a request topic from Hannah.
It was, yeah.
So, Hannah, there you go. That is everything you wanted to know about the Kempton Fitzroy Hotel / Russell Hotel and surrounding areas. I had no clue that it was linked, that it came up in Cats. I think that's quite really quite interesting.
Yeah, although you hate it.
I mean, yeah, but...
But the idea that...
But a lot of people like it, so who am I to judge?
Yes. They do.
So there we go. Thanks, Em.
You're very welcome.
I didn't really know anything about that. I knew there was a Titanic link, but I didn't know what the link was. Mm-hmm. So super fascinating.
Podcast Pedestal.
What are you picking for your pick of the pod?
I think I know, but I'm going to show showmanship and let you go first.
Okay. I know exactly what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for the pair of dragons.
Oh,
George the Dragon and Soggy George.
That is a good one. That is really good.
Yeah. Lucky George and Soggy George. The pair of dragons for me. Because for some reason, I can't quite get that out of my head, that they're a pair. And it almost makes me a bit sad. They're like twins. And one is now at the bottom of the Atlantic and one is still standing proudly in the Russell Hotel.
And I wonder, because it's made out of bronze... being soaked in water, because if it gets water on, it kind of goes green, doesn't it? I wonder if it's like a...
Oh, yeah.
What it looks like now.
I wonder if that's... If the other one is something... Because, of course, a lot of stuff has been brought up from the Titanic, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, actually, not sure how much stuff has, because I know that there was a sort of thinking that it's not that long ago that it went down, so they haven't really been bringing too much stuff up for it to still be kind of related to people who, you know, perished on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's up or down.
Who knows? But yeah, that's a good one.
The dragons.
Yeah, nice.
What about you?
I think I'm going to go for the expression, it's all dolled
up. That is a really good one.
Because I think it says quite a lot about, I mean, the fact that an expression is made of someone, you know, or from someone, it says so much that that person really made an impact.
Yeah.
And it obviously connects to his own personal designs and how intricate his mind was when it came to, you know, designing these beautiful hotels. So I think I'm going to go for it's all dolled up.
That's amazing. And I have been doing a little series on Instagram lately of historic phrases
yes.
and where they come from.
Yes.
So maybe I'll do that one this week.
Yeah, I was thinking of you, actually. Yeah, earlier.
Oh, just thanks.
Nothing related to all dolled up. Just thinking of
just
you.
Just thinking of me. Just, you know, my groupie, what can I say?
Just your biggest fan.
Fab. So those are the picks for this week. It is the pair of dragons, and it's the expression all dolled up.
All dolled up.
Loving it.
Love it.
There we go.
So.
Have you got anything coming up that we need to chat about before we move on?
Nope.
Nope.
No, and but it's okay. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm hopefully going to be releasing my next set of walking tour dates in the next couple of days. I'm a bit behind on everything just because I've been feeling so rotten. But in the next few days, I'll be putting them up. So I'll be walking tours for October, November, possibly into December as well.
Brilliant.
I can't believe we're actually talking about December. Oh my goodness.
It's not far away.
It's really not. So there will be, at some point, Christmas lights tours going up, which were very popular last year.
I might do one of those.
So I'll be putting those up. But yeah, just keep your eyes peeled. And that's it really.
Nice.
The Wheel of Destiny.
Lovely. So, Miss Lacey, it is your turn next week.
It is. Well, it's not going to be next week because it's going to be the week after.
Oh, yes.
So, shall we spin the wheel this week?
Well, I didn't tell you this on the tube, but I haven't got the wheel with me.
What?
I haven't got the travel wheel.
No. Okay. Oh, well, in that case,
let's do it next week.
Well, let's let our guest, assuming we manage to get the guest for next week.
Yes.
We'll let them
spin the wheel. Oh, right. We'll have to be together then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Unless he's got a very long finger.
Anyway,
this has been lovely.
This has been very lovely on a very sticky evening.
Yes, but just thank you so much to the Boat Pod.
Yay.
Right, honestly, guys, check it out. It's so location-wise, it's in walking distance from Warwick Avenue. And it's just in such a wonderful location.
We love
it. It's really cool and quirky. Keep an eye on it on Instagram and stuff because they've got lots of different things that they're
doing. Did you know that they had a podcast recording with Ice-T a couple of weeks ago? Yeah.
No.
Yeah?
We are sat where Ice-T...
I think he was zooming in, but still.
Virtually in there.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, make sure you follow them on Instagram, guys.
So that's it for us for this week. Thank you so much for coming along. Please do go like and subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That'll help people find us as well.
Yeah.
And don't forget that that interview with the BBC is on our website.
Oh, yes.
And we will keep you up to speed. We'll do the poll on Sunday. The blog is there as well. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Give us a shout.
Give us a shout.
Tell us things. We like things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hang on 1 second. Go to sneeze.
That was blew a hole in the boat. We were nearly going to have to pay for damages there. Jesus Christ.
Water is coming in. Oh my God.